to Lebanon now, where a buildup of Syrian troops along the border is fueling fears that Syria may be trying to reassert control over the country. That's something that pro-Western leaders in the Lebanese government strongly oppose. It's more popular, though, among the opposition, which is led by the Lebanese Shiite group Hezbollah. Shiites have growing political power in Lebanon, and in many ways they owe their political voice to a man named Musa al-Sadr. Sadr disappeared under mysterious circumstances in 1978. This summer, Lebanon's government formally charged Libya's leader in his death. Ben Gilbert has the story.
If Syed Musa Sadr had been an athlete, he might have made a great basketball player. At 6 feet and 6 inches, the Iranian-born Sadr was tall and charismatic. He came from a long line of Shiite clerics. He was a distant cousin of Iraqi radical Shiite cleric Muqtada Sadr's family. Musa Sadr moved to Lebanon in 1959, and he found that his fellow Shiites there were poor, illiterate, and powerless. So he launched a movement to bring them education, health care, and a new spirit of political activism.
He's really the Nelson Mandela of the Shias of Lebanon.
Osama Safa is director of the Beirut Center for Policy Studies.
He was a very serious challenge to elitist politicians. He saw an unfair situation and wanted to right several wrongs that happened for the Shia. And let's not forget, he came at a time where the system in Lebanon was very discriminatory.
At the time, Lebanon's Christians and Sunni Muslims dominated Lebanon's religion-based political system. Those communities had their own religious councils to organize their citizens, but the Shiites didn't. Sadr changed that in 1967 by helping shape the Higher Shiite Council. Safa says the council's creation helped cement the Shiites' newfound political power.
Without that council, the Shiites would have probably continued to be preachers here or there, but with no institution. And so the Higher Shiite Council came in to galvanize, if you will, the Shiite cause and make it something that was not going to go away.
Sadr went on to found the Movement of the Deprived, Lebanese Shiites' first true political party. He also created the movement's military wing, called Amal, or Hope, at the start of Lebanon's civil war. Amal was supposed to be non-sectarian, but an offshoot later became the militant Shiite Islamist group Hezbollah. Despite that link, Musa Sadr was a moderate. He was opposed to Iranian-style rule by clergy, and Sadr was known for advocating tolerance and dialogue. He tried to forbid Amal from taking part in the civil war. When Christian villages came under attack in the predominantly Shiite Bekaa Valley, Sadr went on TV to say that any bullet fired at the Christians was a bullet fired at him. Then, in 1978, Libyan dictator Colonel Muammar Gaddafi invited Sadr on a visit. Sadr never returned. Gaddafi says Sadr left Libya and flew to Italy, but the Italians say he never arrived. Ali Hamdan is a senior official in Amal.
We are sure that Gaddafi is responsible for his disappearance. There is no doubt.
In August, the Lebanese government formally charged Gaddafi with Sadr's disappearance. Ali Hamdan.
And this case, it will be open until we see the day judgment for Gaddafi because he committed this historical crime.
But it's unlikely much will come of the case. Libya continues to deny involvement in Musa Sadr's disappearance, and it's not clear what Gaddafi's motive would have been. There are other theories as to who would want to get rid of Musa Sadr. He was a vocal opponent of Israel, but he also criticized the PLO for endangering the Lebanese Shia in South Lebanon. Whatever the reason for his disappearance, Lebanese Shiites continue to remember him as the man who gave them a voice in Lebanon and increased political power. For The World, I'm Ben Gilbert in Beirut.